If you haven't been with us, we're in our Matthew series and we're finishing off our Matthew series. Yeah, I'll stick that there. And we're looking at the ministry of the Messiah. And today we're thinking about the treasure that's worth everything. So today we're going to look at this treasure. Next week we'll look at the pearl. And then the week after, you better be here because Michael's going to share on that, on the third part of these three little parables that Jesus shares. So it's a one little line that Jesus teaches, which we could easily skip over if you're in a hurry, but we're going to have a little bit of focused time where we look at this. One simple but powerful illustration that Jesus uses from verse 44, and something that he wants to impress upon us to help us learn. So how about we pray? Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this illustration that you've given us. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the parables which you can use, which you teach us. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word, and thank you for your truth, and pray that we hear and understand, believe it, and are changed by it. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's have a look at Jesus' words, and let's focus in on these things. But let me read that one verse again that we're focusing in on. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in the field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had bought." And bought that field, sold everything that he had, and he bought that field. Imagine the scene. There's a scene set for you. There is a man, he's working out in the field. Perhaps he's ploughing, perhaps he's digging, maybe he's digging a well, maybe he's digging a tree out that he doesn't want, and ching, he hits something. He hits something, the tool strikes something solid, he uncovers and discovers this incredible treasure, far more valuable than anything that he'd ever owned or he could ever earn. In Jesus' day, people buried stuff. You know why? Because there weren't any banks, right? And they buried things because that was a safe place, maybe with a nearby landmark that you knew where things were. And what could happen? But there could be a surprise invasion. There could be enemies, a land raid, or there could be earthquake, and you could suddenly die. You could suddenly die. And then the treasure is left there for someone else to discover, someone else to find. Well, that's a bit of the scene, but let's think about unseen treasure. Because as you think of this, sometimes things you can't see on the surface, you might have to dig a bit. Now, I've got a father-in-law, right? And he's a farmer, or was a farmer. He had happened to have some gold bullions. Farmers seem to do this, apparently, don't they? Anyway, he decided that at circumstances and what was happening at the current time, that he would bury them in his chicken coop. Now, certain amount in here and a certain amount from the corner there, put it down there and bury it in there. Well, he lives in Grafton. You want to know his address, don't you? Don't worry, he sold the gold and he doesn't have the farm anymore. And just to think about it, sometimes you don't know what's under the surface, what's unseen, hidden treasure, so to speak. Hidden, all those chickens didn't know they were living on a sum of money, weren't they? Yes. And hidden to them, but this field and this idea of this field, as people walk around it, it's hidden to them unless they actually discover the treasure, don't they? Now, many don't realise what lays beneath the surface. And it's like that with God's kingdom sometimes, isn't it? As many people hear about God's kingdom, but they don't actually realise its true value. To some serving God, to some reading the Bible, reading his word, to some living for Jesus seems ordinary, it seems restrictive, and it doesn't have any value to them. But to others who have really come to understand who Jesus is and come to realize what treasure there is, it's something that is precious that others miss. Now, the kingdom offers this hope, it offers this joy that nothing else can provide. And the hope of, you know, suffering ending, the hope of restoration of this world, the hope of forgiveness, and the joy of forgiveness, and the joy and of peace with God and everlasting life. So, as we think about true treasure, think about the person who collects antiques. Now, to one person, they may see an old painting that they buy for a few dollars. To an expert who recognises the kind of paint that it's painted with and the material that it's painted on and the era and the genre that it's from, it can be actually something that is a real masterpiece, a priceless masterpiece. The object doesn't change, does it? But actually the understanding of its value has changed as someone comes to understand the value of it. Well, similarly, two people may read the Bible and one person closes it and is unchanged. Another person reads the scriptures and discovers life's biggest questions, answers to life's biggest questions, and finds everlasting hope. See, true treasure is found in Jesus and what he has for us. The greatest treasure, as Colin puts it, is peace with God. You find when you discover Jesus, it's like you've dug up what I call gospel gold when you find it and when you believe it. So as we think about applying this, have you found the treasure? Let me ask you that. It's a good chance for us to check if we've found the treasure. It's a challenge to consider if we have found true treasure. If not, I want to really encourage you to think about that today. I want to encourage you to find true treasure that doesn't fade. It's a relationship that God offers to us. It's a future with him that goes into eternity. And we can have confidence of that. Confidence because Jesus actually is the one who can give it to us. Confidence through his death and his resurrection that he has provided the best treasure, the treasure of a relationship and a future into all eternity with him. And it's through faith and trust in what Jesus offers and this treasure that he has for us. He says in Matthew 16, which I've got there, we looked at that last week, do you remember? Last week we looked at that if you were here. And in Matthew 16 he says, you can gain world treasure now, but end up losing your life, losing your soul. But you can lose worldly treasure now, in a sense, and you can gain true treasure that goes into eternity when he talks about that paradox. You can gain the world, but you can lose your soul. And he encourages us there in Matthew 16 to find true treasure in Jesus, where you lose the things and the values of this world, but you find true treasure in Jesus and what he has for us. Well, if so, you found treasure, and I know many of you have, does our life, and I suppose a challenge and a check for us today is, does our life show that value and that we value that above all else? Does our schedule, or what schedule we run, does our goals, does our decisions, the way we use our time often reveals what we treasure most. And Jesus is saying, and he reminds us and encourages us to seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom. Because material things will wear out, our career might end, and our wealth may disappear overnight. But the blessing associated with his kingdom is permanent, right? Goes on to into eternity. And in just one sentence here, Jesus taught this timeless truth to us, which we can continue to reflect on. A person who truly recognizes the value of God's kingdom doesn't focus on what they must give up, but they focus on the greater reward ahead. Yeah? Like the man who found the hidden treasure, may we continue to deepen our appreciation for God's kingdom, and as we serve God, that we won't feel like we're giving something away. It'll feel like we're gaining the greatest treasure by actually serving him. Well, in Matthew 13, this is the truth that Jesus reveals to us, and this is in this one little sentence. You may have thought, this guy does something a little bit deceitful. He goes and hides it again and then he buys it. What's going on there? But it's not what Jesus is focusing in on, is it? And like what he does in the parable of the shrewd manager, he actually gets our attention, and then he actually wants us to focus in on what's the man's response. Did you notice there the man's response? In his joy. It's actually in his joy. Now that word joy comes from a Greek word which we get the name, the girl's name, Kara. Joy. And the joy means that they're not reluctant. He's not reluctant. He is not complaining. But he sells everything because of what he's gaining is of infinitely more value. It's like, you know, you're giving up a dollar to get $1 billion because you know the value of the gift. That is how Jesus describes his kingdom here and the kingdom of heaven. And we see here the act of the man of joy, joy in his heart. And God never wants us to worship him merely motivated by our duty or fear. When we truly appreciate what God has done and what his kingdom will accomplish, we serve him with the privilege and joy that is. And that joy will sustain us. That joy will help us endure through hard things. That joy will remind us of why our priorities are different to what the world says is valuable and has priority. I lastly wanted to finish with a quote. Have you heard of this man? Pastor Piper. John Piper says that God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Just think about that for a little moment. But it is that as we can most glorify God with our life when we're actually most satisfied in him and what he gives us. But I've got a little twist on that one today. This is Pastor T's version of it. God is most glorified in us when we are most joyified. You heard that word? I just made it up for you today. When we are most joyified in him. I saw a man recently. He's visited a couple of times. He's a parcel man. He comes to my house. And this parcel man is an older guy. And he's got a goatee. He's got a knee guard on. But he jumps out of his van, gets his parcel out. I thought, what's this guy got so much joy about it? You know? He's just, all he's doing is delivering things to people. But he does it with such joy. And then after about the third time, I thought, I've got this little track that, and I wanted to know where his joy comes from. I got this little track from John Piper, and it's about joy. And I said, you're always so joyous when you're delivering this. I said, oh, here, have this. This is about joy. And as he went back to his van, he said, oh, I'm a follower. And I said, well, that's great. Well, give that to someone else then. But here's a man who had such joy in his job. We can have joy in surfing sometimes. We can have joy in crafting sometimes, depending on how frustrated you get. You can have joy coming to church as well. But sometimes you can come to church and you don't feel the joy as much. And some of those joys can be a bit hit and miss with us sometimes. But there's a joy that's everlasting and underlying, which we need to make sure we have. That's the joy that Jesus gives us and the joy that he has. It's the joy of our salvation, if I can put it like that. The psalmist put it like that. David put it like that. Samuel put it like that. Samuel says in 2 Samuel, he says, "My God, my salvation." David says in the psalm, he says, "My salvation." And he says it a couple of times, "The God of my salvation." Isaiah says this about God bringing them back to the holy mountain. That's all his people who have come to follow him. And it says, "And make them joyful in my house of prayer." Habakkuk says this, "I will exalt the Lord, I will rejoice in the God of my salvation." That's got to be our underlying base joy, doesn't it? When we have that underlying base joy, then it does mean that the way that you approach your work, the way that you approach your surf, and even if it's a bad one, the way you approach your craft, the way you approach your dressmaking, whatever it is, whether it's a good or bad day in that, or frustrating day in that, there's the underlying joy of Jesus, the hope of our salvation. Which means that as we approach those other things, whether it's good or bad, we can actually still think, "Oh, God's allowed me to actually have a job. I'm thankful for that, and you can find joy in that. He's given me a body that works, that I can do craft and do craft things, even though I'm getting so frustrated and can't work out how this thing works at the moment." When you have the best, or when you have the worst day in the surf, you can still find joy. Let's thank Jesus for that, and let me pray as we finish now. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for the joy that it is knowing you, that you are our treasure, that you have told us about where the gospel gold can be found as we come to you in repentance and faith. We find that we have forgiveness, and we find that we have a future. We find that we have a relationship where you walk with us and that you give us your spirit to go with us. We thank you for that. We praise you for that. And we want to sing about that. We want to be in thanks for that. Dear Lord Jesus, you are our treasure. May you be our treasure as we go from this place. And we ask this in your name. Amen.